Welcome to Lawmen, a podcast about local legends and obscure curiosities from days of yore. I'm James Shakeshaft.
And I'm Alistair Beckett King. Happy Halloween! The week of Halloween!
Oh yes, happy Halloween. Happy Halloween to those who celebrate. We did a live show.
It was another live, yes. We were joined by a select bunch of the spookiest teens available.
The creme de la brulee.
Slightly too select, really. I mean, we had room for a few more. But it's, sorry, it's fine. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thanks, actually, folks.
So what was the tale, James?
It was the tale of Hereward the Wake.
Ooh,
indeed.
Halloween
indeed. I got a good spooky story for today, and it's less spooky than I would have hoped, but it is full of derring do. And I don't know what derring is. I think it's a type of herring.
It is an archaic form of daring.
Is it?
Yes.
A daring
Which is why do. A lot of people say daring do, but those people are fools!
Modern fools.
And we despise them. I mean, the kind of people who listen to this podcast are like, it's actually daring. It's an archaic version of daring. I don't even know why I'm here. They all have this information already.
Is that like how, like, Darren Brown is a...
It's just...
It's an archaic version of Darren Brown. Yes.
His name actually is Darren Brown. He changed it.
To an archaic
do you,
version?
Yes, as me and all of these people know...
He's Darren really
is
Darren.
A, people are nodding. Darren is a strange... is a stage name. His given name was Darren
is
Brown.
Is Darren a real name at all?
It is
now. Is that another trick he's pulling on us? Guys, are you ready for a kind of pretty spooky story?
Yeah!
Make it realistic.
Well, you're in luck, actually, folks. Because I've got a story.
Phew.
I'm going to crack on with it. Do you remember Edric the Wild?
Yes.
And we teased his contemporary, Hereward the Wake.
Hereward the Wake.
Hereward the Wake,
Am
yes.
I saying that right? Hereward the Wake.
It's either Hereward or Hereward the Wake.
Okay.
The Wake's always the same.
It's like Darren Darren, basically.
Yeah, it's an archaic version of Hereward. And Wake is an archaic version of Woke. but he too was a historical figure, and he has also got some legendary tales built up around him. He was knocking around in the Billy the Conk times.
Billy Conks.
So we're talking 1066. We're talking Surrey? Sussex?
Sussex.
I'm going to get that county right.
Please
one day.
Learn where Hastings is before we record.
So, and these stories were written within 80 years of his death. So these are probably a little bit closer to fact than the other one, but not that much. My sources are Geoffrey Gamer's Histoire des Angles. Which means... The story of the Englands. The story of the Englands.
Are you translating it now as you read live, in your head?
Live.
Mm. Wow.
And Gesta Heroadi Saxonis. And then I'm getting bits from Catherine Briggs, Dictionary of British Folklore, and Christ in a Hole. It's Christina Hole. Her.
Oh, Christina Hull gets a spontaneous, unprompted woo. We shamble on stage basically to nothing.
We two alive people in front of you.
Is Christina Hull dead?
Yeah, she died in 19...
And this is how you tell me.
Oh, she was born in 1896 or something.
Was she? Okay.
1897, 1898. I'm doing all these for the edit. 1895.
Just say each number individually.
1890... Fine.
Great.
this is English Folk Heroes. This has got a better cover, though. This is Witchcraft in Britain.
Illustrated by Mervyn Peake off of Gormenghast.
Mm.
Not the TV adaptation, which was bad.
Mm.
But the books, which were good.
She's got mouths for eyes.
Has she?
I think so. Or her mouth's weird and her eyes are also weird in a similar manner.
No, they're trees.
Are they?
Yeah, the eyes are trees, James.
Oh, yeah, the eyes are trees. She's got trees for eyes. That's not spooky. It is spooky.
It is spooky. It's the you said, James, it's the kind of book that you would have to put face down so your kids don't see it.
Yes.
And it really is. It's proper Osborne Book of Ghosts, spooky.
The back of it has also got a really scary picture on it, but just slightly smaller. So you put it face down and then just pop a little coaster over it.
Hopefully a square coaster, because a round coaster would reveal the corners of the scary image.
Mm.
Well, well, if you didn't like it in the room, imagine how it's going to sound on the podcast. They didn't even see it.
So, Hereward is the son of Leofric, which means friendly kingdom, who was the Lord of Coventry. And
friendly kingdom.
Friendly kingdom, yeah. And his mum was Godiva. Yes, that one.
Oh.
Yeah. Who rode through Coventry protesting the bad taxes put forth by her husband, Leofric.
What? She protested her own husband's taxes?
Yeah.
By being there. I don't know anything about the story apart from the nakedity.
Yes, the nakedity
she
was...
She protested her own husband's bill.
Yes. Yes.
It's just one of those weird protests, like Spider-Man trying to get on top of the town hall. It's just, it's confusing.
A naked Spider-Man would be very confusing because, you, to be honest, how are you going to tell it's Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Not just a good climber. And unsurprisingly, Hereward was a bit of a wayward son with these sort of parents. They're protesting each other's bills. In his teens, he and a bunch of his mates would collect by force his father's rents and tolls and then just keep the money.
Mm.
So these terrible bills, he was going and just stealing them.
No wonder he thought he needed more rent, because he wasn't getting any, because his son was stealing all the rent.
Yeah.
What a family.
Well, he worked it out in the end, and he petitioned the king to banish his own son. The king was...
How did he persuade the king to do that? In the usual manner of being naked?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
The king was Edward the Confessor, by the way. Just you know.
Oh, one of the main ones there. Yeah.
And I've looked it up, and Confessor refers to, like, his sort of piety and stuff like that. It wasn't like a liar situation. He wasn't just bound to tell the truth about everything. Like, oh, that was weird that when your wife rode around naked because of something you did that time. It wasn't like that. He actually used to be one of England's national saints. And I said that in a very odd way. He used to be one of England's national saints pre-St. George times.
I think that fact is worthy of the voice you did while saying it.
Well, thank you very much. Oh, heraldic sidebar, by the way. Just going back to King Edward, he succeeded Cnut's son, by the way, who's called Hawther Cnut. Which is very funny written down.
It's like you've stubbed your toe.
Hawther Cnut. Yes. And yeah, after this, all his friends, Hereward's friends, abandoned him, apart from one, Martin Lightfoot, which is a cool name.
These characters are coming and going really, really fast, like the start of a heist movie.
Well.
Do I have to remember all these names?
Not so many.
Okay.
Then he went to Scotland, to the court of... Gisbert of Kent, of Ghent. I'm not sure if it's a hard G or a soft G. It's either Gisbert of Ghent or Gisbert of Ghent. It all sounds, I mean, like a night out. And here, and this is mentioned in almost all versions of the story, he slew a huge Norwegian bear. And that is all the detail anyone ever goes into.
In Scotland?
In Scotland, a tourist bear, polar bear, the one version that slightly goes into more detail reveals that it was a caged polar bear. And he
much
just
less
killed
impressive.
It. That's rude, isn't it?
Yeah.
First of all, you've locked up a visiting bear. Second of all, someone's just come up and killed it. Gisbert. You need to run your court better. And Hereward drew the envy of noble youths because of his Darren do.
Because of
his Darren do, which is a haircut like Darren's.
Do you know what I discovered? Mm. I don't know about you. When we were in school, people had like Coke can fringes. So you'd have pretty much a grade one across. I say you, not me. I look like this. But you'd have almost all your hair shaved, but the front, your fringe you would keep, and you would sort, they would sort of gel it into an arc, like a waterfall. And we called it a Coke can fringe, because if you did it the proper way, it had the...
You could keep
the circumference. Like a holder, yeah.
You could hold the coat. If you did it that way, it would just be a handy place.
James, you've leapt ahead of me.
No.
In fact, I was back in the north recently, and the young lads have all got the inverted Coke can fringe.
They've got really
short hair, and then a really long swooping fringe, but this time it curves upwards towards God's light.
Oh, good. Finally, the northeast.
Yeah.
You've accepted the power of God to hold a Coke can in your hair.
I mean, maybe one of those mini ones. Maybe one of the little ones, like a party one. And yeah, so back to the story. Just a little fringe aside.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
So he basically had to leave Scotland. He went to work for a Cornish lord called Alef. And he got involved in a love triangle down there, as we all do in Cornwall. So the daughter of Alef loved the son of the Irish king, and Hereward would transport letters back and forth between the two.
Oh, so when you say he's in a love triangle, he's...
Oh, no, he's facilitating a love triangle.
Right.
Yeah.
He's not one of the points of the triangle.
No,
he's the hypotenuse of a love triangle.
Yeah. He's this love triangle's isosceles.
Okay. Don't challenge him on that.
We know maths. Yeah.
Just leave it. Don't say anything or think anything.
But Alef, the dad, he wanted her to marry a different Cornish lord. And it got as far as the wedding, it got as far as the wedding day. And Hereward really ruined the wedding by dressing up in dark clothes, being unrecognisable, and just sort of sitting in a sulk.
Like a goth?
Yeah, just being really grumpy at the wedding.
Who is that goth at this wedding? It's ruining it for me. I'm trying to do a Cornish accent.
It became more Cornish as it went on. I liked it.
Are you not... You're Cornish, right?
A bit.
Yeah. Oh, what do you think of the accent? Okay.
That's
now in the Cornish language, that's the highest compliment they can pay. As good as it gets on the peninsula.
So yeah, he's grumpy at this wedding. He basically causes a massive bloodbath by having a sulk, because they pass around a cup, and he's at some point decided that he will never drink from a cup unless it's handed to him directly by the daughter of this lord. So he doesn't drink from the cup, and everyone's like, who's this grumpy goth at this wedding? Someone challenges him, and he kills them. And then he kills basically everyone there.
Right, so when you said he spoils it by dressing in black, really it was the murder that... That's the point where it tips over.
Yeah, no, but if he hadn't have gone in disguise and been really grumpy, then Alef would have known who he was and just gone, oh, that's just Hereward being Hereward. And it would have been fine. But no.
I don't know. To some extent, if you're fooled by someone just wearing black, you have to take some responsibility.
You're going to need to get on board with that for this story.
All right. Okay.
So he killed them all apart from the daughter, took her to Ireland, worked for the Irish court for a little bit. At this point, though, 1066 happens.
Right.
And
yeah.
We all know what that means. Sussex. Kent. Ghent. Sussex. Billy the Conk. Sorry. No, it's not bidding. We're not having a county bidding war. Calm down. The Placentan County of Durham. No. Is that right? Did I get the words in the right order?
There were some sounds in there, yeah. Meh. As a Cornish person would say. Meh.
So he's like, right, I've got to get back to England. I've got to sort things out. He sets off in his boat. And he gets blown off course and lands in Flanders. That's quite badly off course. I don't know if you know where Ireland is.
It's a long way from Flanders.
And where England is and where Flanders is. That's a big storm. So basically, he ends up in Flanders. He starts working for the local lord. Does some more fighting.
I mean, is this his CV at this point?
Fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His CV is just went there, killed a lot of people.
And the respect of everyone.
And what were you doing in this period? Storm. That was a storm.
Yeah, because see, there's a bit of a gap in your CV between Ireland and Flanders. What happened there? Big storm. The biggest. Finally, he gets back to Lincolnshire. And this is... the tale that I'm going to end this first section of Hereward About on. Now, wait a minute.
You can never have too many prepositions. We'll choose whichever one is grammatical in the edit.
Yeah. So he gets back to Lincolnshire, disguises himself for reasons that are unexplained, and he goes into a house and he finds the people in there quite upset, and they're saying that the castle's been taken over by Normans, the French army people.
You're just explaining for that table?
Yeah. He's disguised in this household. They're like, it's really bad. The Normans have come here. They've taken over the castle. Used to belong to that Hereward guy. Hereward's mother's getting harassed by Normans, the army. again and again. Hereward's little brother has stood up and slain two Normans. So the rest of the Normans, the army, have got together and they've beheaded Hereward's brother and popped his head above the castle gates.
He's not going to like that.
He is not. This Hereward.
He killed an entire wedding party for no reason. So I dread to think what he's going to do in this situation.
He was not happy. He revealed his costume and was like, I'm Hereward and you're right. I am upset about this and I'm going to do something about it. Just going to have a quick nap first because I'm tired because of the storm, etc. And he led down and he's just drifting off, and then he hears like the sound of music.
Not the film. Just explaining for that table.
Thanks. Good catch. And he wakes up and he's like, what's that noise? What's going on? And it's the castle and they're celebrating and having a big party because they've just killed his brother. So what he does, he gets his mate, Martin Lightfoot, and they sneak up to the castle. They take big, long black cloaks with them, and they disguise themselves, and they hide in the shadows of the porch of the castle. They call it a porch.
Where everyone's shoes are.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a no-shoes castle.
That's fine. And that's fine if that's their choice and they let people know when they come in. I've got no problem with it, by the way. They're listening in and the people are partying. There's a minstrel and he's singing very rude songs about the brother that heads on the outside of the castle because it's been taken off of the body, which is a very polite way of saying he's beheaded and he's put on a spike.
Methinks that Bart has spat his last bar.
Well, one of the women there who's from the castle is like, guys, you know the brother of the person you killed, this Hereward the Wake, his CV is just...
I've got it here, but it'll take about 20 minutes to read.
That gap there was a storm, don't worry about it. You want to watch yourselves. And the Norman knight, self-explanatory that time, right? Is like, go on, sing some more, go on. And gets the minstrel to sing even more bawdier songs about it. And the minstrel starts singing. And then all of a sudden, one of the shadows detaches itself from the wall and draws a sword and slays that Norman down. Yeah. It was Hereward.
The shadow was Hereward.
The shadow, because he had his black cloak on and he'd snuck in pretending to be a shadow.
I think it would have been better if he'd been the jester. It would have been a lot more, it would have been way more surprising and a lot more like Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. What I'm doing is I'm proving your story and I'm improving Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Well, they do, funnily enough, they do say a lot of the bits of the legend of Hereward ended up in the film Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Really?
No, in the Robin Hood legends, the Robin Hood legends in general. Him and Martin slay 15 of the Norman knights.
Well, that's less than he killed at the wedding.
Stick their heads up on the outside.
That's a lot of heads to stick up.
Though. Yeah, they're getting through a lot of blue tack. isn't it? Well, yes, Alice, that ends part one of Hereward.
That was merely part one. Yeah, give it part one. I take it, James, from your subtle nod to me that means you'd like me to tell some Scottish Halloween superstitions.
Oh, yes.
Cornish accent. Ooh. Superstitions. Let's talk bogles.
Oh, yes.
What you gonna do when they come for you, bogles?
You need a bogle?
This comes from our friend of the podcast, Cuthbert Beads, History of Argyle.
Cuthy Beads.
Which I referenced in the Kelpies of Kintyre episode. Mm-hmm. A few weeks ago.
I remember.
A Highlander was benighted on the moors when suddenly he saw a light, which at first he imagined to be one of those two stars called by the Argyleshaman Fiery Tail and Guide of Night. But soon he found he was mistaken, for the light began to dance before him, being nothing more than the Ignis Fatuus, Will-o'-the-Wisp. The Highlander, however, concluded it to be a bogle. So a bogle is the Scottish version. I think it's the origin of boogeyman and bogeyman, as we correctly pronounce it in this country, as well as boken and bokane. And he begins to call upon every power he can think of to free himself from the grasps, the clutches of the Will-o'-the-Wisp. James, in that situation, who are you going to call?
Bogle Busters.
Close.
No.
I'll give you another chance if you want. Who are you going to call?
Ghost bus tour. I always you know, in Edinburgh, there's a ghost bus tour.
Do they know?
I hope they know.
They must know.
But I don't think they do.
Well, you were close. It's the Duke of Argyll. He calls upon St. Peter and Paul and the Virgin, which I assume means Mary, and none of it works. And eventually he says he commands the spirit to leave in the name of the Duke of Argyll, and it's like, ooh, Duke of Argyll's on my case. It's gone.
Hmm.
I think it only works in Argyll, but if you're in Argyll and you're menaced by a bogey, mm-hmm. call upon the Duke of Argyll. So we'll be getting on to Ray Parker Jr., to have the song updated to nice. Say, who are you going to call, Ghostbusters? Or, if you're in Argyll, the Duke of Argyll. Cuthbert Bede goes on to quote, in Gaelic, the bogle is best known as the bodach. And Mr. J.F. Campbell, in his popular Tales of the West Highlands, Volume 4, when speaking of the Halloween observances, which, by the way, were witnessed by the Queen at Balmoral on November the 1st, 1869, different Queen. Probably. With their bonfires and blazing torches, observes, it seems that the ancient Eastern veneration for the sun and for fire, which is recorded in the Vedas, still survives in the West Highlands in popular superstitious observances which resemble Indian religious ceremonies. Perhaps Bodach, the bogle, may once have been Buddha, the sage. Now, I'm not an anthropologist. No. I have no expertise in this area. That's nonsense. 100% that's not true. I put money on it right now. Absolutely no way is the Scottish bogeyman also the Buddha. They just both begin with B, you maniac. It was so easy to write books in the old days. You could just notice the same letter and be like, maybe that's the same. Hmm? Chapter 2!
Is the bogle the Burger King?
Is
it also the Burger King?
The Bogle King.
Just because it begins with B.
Perhaps it could be. Perhaps. That's a good thing about perhaps, isn't it? You can say anything. Cuthbert Bede goes on to tell a spooky story that I'm afraid I have to apologise. Turns out quite sweet.
Aww.
Do you reckon you can handle that? But it's quite spooky. So it seems that the young people of Glen Lusser, which is a river, don't confuse it with Glen Luce, which is a village in the region of Wigtownshire.
What?
I knew I wasn't going to get that past you. Wigtownshire. But it's Scottish, just like Wigtownshire.
We're not there.
We're near Glen Lusser, which is on the peninsula of Kintyre. And the young people there had many a tradition around Halloween, all of which centred around working out who they were going to marry. The main one, of course, was kale pulling. We're talking about kale, the cabbage, you've heard of that? The most romantic vegetable.
Kale?
Yeah. The lads and lasses would join hands with one another, blindfold themselves and wander into the cane fields and just pull out a stalk of kale. You spooky teens. What mischief will you come up with? I mean, at this point, essentially, it's farming. But then the nature of that stalk of kale would make a prediction about their future if it was, and they used the word sweet. I'm not sure any cabbages are really sweet. If it was sour or sweet, crooked or straight. If it came up with a big clod of earth, that meant that they were to be rich. And if it came up bedangling, it meant that they would be poor. They would be light of purse. After that, of course, they would play at cracking and burning the nuts, which again, again is a practice of divination. We're talking about the edible kind of nuts, James.
Okay, then.
I don't know what they did there.
What do they mean, though? What does it mean?
The cracking of the nuts, the turning of the shirts is even more baffling.
Hello.
What you had to do was dip your shirts in a dead and living ford, which is a river that has been crossed by a funeral procession. And young men, yeah, a dead and living ford, not a car. And then they would hang their clothes to dry over a bonfire and simply wait until the spirit of their future wives would emerge from the dampness to go, oh, these aren't going to dry, and rearrange them. You've hung them up really badly.
And we're in Scotland.
And they would turn the shirts over. So the youths in Glenlusser had tried all the usual ones, the cracking and burning of the nuts, the turning of the shirts, etc. And when they had tried these and several other games and had used charms and words in order that they might dream or see something by which they might know their fortune, they got to egg dropping.
Oh, you got to drop them.
Now, we immediately skip on as if we, the reader, all know what that is.
Oh, what?
Is it a reverse egg apple bobbing with eggs, which is much easier? Where you spit an egg into a bucket? There's clearly... I don't know. There's clearly water involved because then one of the girls filled her mouth with the water in which the eggs had been dropped.
Ew.
And went out quickly to run around the house. Now, it's not clear to me if this is standard egg dropping. And everyone's going, yep, that's just what you do with egg dropping. Mm-hmm. Someone fills their mouth with the water that the eggs have been dropped into and runs around the house. Or if everybody's looking at each other like, what's wrong with Caitlin? Why is she being like this? Oh, it has to be the center of attention. So she ran around the house, mouth full of egg water.
Well, who hasn't? Come on.
In our younger days.
When trying to divine our lover. Is it divine a lover? Is that what they're trying to do?
In general, yes. As she was pegging it around the house, she met a stranger who was dressed in a soldier's uniform who said to her, did you see John? The girl, yeah, it's not that scary. I can try it in Gaelic if you want. Am faca tu yen.
I beg your pardon.
I'm faca tu yen.
Okay.
Ian. It's just Ian.
Ian.
It is just the name Ian, really. The girl was terrified, for she knew well that there was no soldier at that time in Glenlusser, and she darted back into the house and told what she had seen. A spectre. Then they all ran out to see the stranger, but no soldier was there, although they searched everywhere and were unable to find the person who had spoken to the girl. They took it to be a ghost, and basically nothing was talked about, because not a lot happens in Glenlusser for several weeks. But the winter passed away, and talk moved on to other things, and the girl began to forget almost that she had seen a ghost, until one day, in the market at Campbelltown, she saw some soldiers landing from a ship. They'd come all the way from the East Indies where they'd served for many years. And as they marched up the main street from the quay, who should be at their head but the very soldier whose ghost had appeared to her on Halloween. Yes, with an apostrophe. Halloween.
Halloween?
Hello, John. Are you disappointed by that twist?
I thought it was going to be Ian.
Ian is John.
What?
It's the Gaelic version of John.
But who's the ghost?
John. Ian slash John.
So he says, have you seen me?
Shut up, you're ruining it, James. Yeah. It was him. His name was John. In fact, he turned out to be the cousin of a friend of hers. And
that's nice.
So that's convenient. So there's an inn. It's like, oh, you know, your cousin's with my friend.
Oh, small world.
So it's not surprising based on the ghost thing and the cousin banter that they quickly fell in love. He had a little bit of money saved from no doubt respectable behaviour in the East Indies.
Yikes.
We don't have to think or worry about that. They did not long keep company, but were married and had settled in Glenlusser before the next Halloween.
Oh, hello, Ian.
So yeah, that's some Scottish traditions that I don't know what they were.
Yeah.
But we know the names of them, and that's enough in a way.
So, back to Hereward. After that bit, we killed all them Normans, the army, put the 15 head spikes on the thing. People start hearing about him.
15!
He's getting a bit of a movement about him. People are joining him, but other people are hearing about him. The Normans, the army. And they are getting angry with him. He ends up holed up on the Isle of Ely. The Isle of Ely. Well, you may have remembered it from an earlier episode where we called it the Isle of Ely. And
oh.
Thank you very much, everyone, for your emails. It's the Isle of Ely, and it's surrounded by boggy marshland, and the Normans were trying to ride up to it, and their horses kept getting stuck in the bogs and drowning. And it says kept, so they did it more than once. So what they did, they came up with a cunning plan. They tried to build a big dike out of earth and wood in order to dam up the water, to drain some of the bog.
The problem with these places, these highly defensible spots, is that it would be rubbish to live there, because you're in the middle of nowhere surrounded by a bog. But
yeah,
no one can get to you, but you have to live there. So it's a double-edged sword.
And even like your Amazon deliverer, they're just going to pretend that they've tried.
That's just a photo of it sinking into the bog.
Yeah. That's an Amazon horse. So what they did, they made this dike, and they got to the, they finished it. All the builders knock off for the night, apart from one who lingers back and pulls back his hood.
No, not another disguise.
It's Heroin the way.
What?
And he gets his Zippo lighter, clunk, and sets fire to that dike, and it burns down.
No, that wouldn't happen.
Because it's too damp.
It would be too damp,
Well, he did it. Well, he did it.
Did he? Because he didn't, because it would be too wet.
Well, he did.
It's in contact with the river.
Well, it was him, and he did do it.
But it's not realist.
Well, in the end, Billy the Conk was so annoyed.
Oh, by the way, for people who've never heard the podcast before, William the Conqueror.
Yes.
That's who that
the
is.
The Conqueror, a.k.a. Billy the Conk.
Billy the Conk.
He was not a believer in witchcraft or anything like that, and this is where it actually has a spooky bit. He employs a witch to try and get these Ingles out, these Angles out, these English.
Just like the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Yes, just like the Sheriff of Nottingham in the film Dances with Wolves. That's not right. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Yeah. I could see in your eyes the moment you went for the wrong film.
Yeah.
It was very weird. Before he said it, I was like, he's not going to say the title of the film. But I also can't remember it, so I can't help.
Robin Hood, the Postman.
It would have been Waterworld after he
knocked
down
context,
that dike. That would have been like Waterworld. Kevin Costner would have been at home from the film Waterworld.
Dancing with a wolf. Princing with a thief. I don't know. Tinning a cup. These are all of the Kevin Costner films. JFing a K. That's tickled me. Right. Billy the Conk, William the Conqueror, did not like witchcraft. He didn't believe in witchcraft. Even that Halley's Comet thing, which is the Halley's Comet supposed to have passed over before the Battle of Hastings, wherever it was.
Nobody really knows. It's a mystery.
No one can never know. Yeah, he didn't really believe in witchcraft. But in the end, he employed a witch from France, got her shipped in.
Ooh. Oh, he wouldn't use one of our English witches.
No.
Wouldn't trust him.
No, he got him brought over.
I like this because it's like he's a tough detective who's been paired with a partner. And they're like chalk and cheese, James.
Mm.
But they need to solve this case.
Yes.
And that's the one thing they agree on.
They're like chalky cheese.
This cheese is chalky.
So she lodged in Brandon, which is a place.
Not a character from a 90s TV drama.
She was staying at this B&B with this lady who was widow, who was known in the area that she let people stay at her house. She basically ran a B&B. Is it a long-winded way of saying it?
This is another case of, I'm miming a hood being pulled back.
No, she was.
Is she
just
about to, like, is she about a Mission just, Impossible fake face herself?
She was just a normal traitor.
Okay.
And also staying at this B&B was a potter. Some dopey Saxon traveller selling his wares wherever he could. This guy couldn't even speak French.
Let's let our guard down around him.
They did, and they spoke about their plans in French in front of this dopey Saxon potter.
J'avais un plan.
Oui. I have...
Mission.
I have Troyton. I did look up some French things.
Yeah.
Troyton.
What's newt. That? You looked at the word newt.
Newt.
It's not going to come up in a plot. A newt. Where is the newt? Why would they be saying?
Because she's a witch.
Oh, right. Yeah, I forgot she was a witch.
She probably forgot she was a witch. She wouldn't have been able to get those bits through customs. So she's going to have to source them.
She's going to have to work with English newts.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they don't. It's not the same.
Mm,
You cannot get the newt's ear?
No. It's because I'm after the eye.
The English cannot cook a newt.
We're not making fun of the French language, just the people. And that potter slipped away in the night after hearing that plan. He was, of course, Hedda with the Wake.
For the listener, that sound effect is pulling off a
Mission Impossible style face mask.
Yes.
Which he's taken one off every time.
Your face gets a lot wider when you put something like that on. So they should do it, but they should use CGI to make their faces really wide in the films. When it's someone wearing a fake Tom Cruise, in some of them there's someone wearing a fake Tom Cruise and then there's Tom Cruise wearing a fake someone else because they can't have a scene without Tom Cruise in it.
I think there's one with Tom Cruise is wearing a fake one who's wearing a fake Tom Cruise.
He's wearing three layers.
Probably. I haven't seen them all.
His face should fill the entire screen.
Oh, it does though, doesn't it? Anyway, at the battle the next day, the Normans had set the witch on a high wooden tower overlooking the battlefield, and she starts doing a French incantations. And as she gets to the third set of chants, Hereward motions to the English and they set fire to all the reeds and they all catch fire. And all the Normans, they're baffled, there's smoke, there's fire, they start running around, they lose their way, they fall in the marsh, in the bogs, they're drowning.
So they're too hot and too wet now.
At the same time.
That's annoying.
The tower catches on fire, the witch falls to her death, and Hereward has saved the day once again.
Well, himself.
Yeah. He ends up making peace with William, ultimately.
And after all that?
After all that, well, he's still got some people after him because he's made a lot of French enemies.
Frenemies. No, that's already a word. Sorry, we have to get rid of the old meaning of frenemies now for French enemies.
That's the archaic.
I have way more French enemies than I have frenemies.
You do now. He eventually, ultimately died, Hereward. He was at his house, asleep, and a bunch of French knights surrounded his house and broke in. He did manage to kill another 15 of them.
But he died putting their heads on spikes because it's just too exhausting.
It's so strenuous. And his sword and lance broke.
Well, are you telling me that they sent 16 knowing that 15 was his limit? And then the last one was like dead.
Well, they sent 20.
Oh, okay, round up, yeah.
Number 16, Ralph Dedol, who was, as far as I can tell, a human, not a doll.
Ralph. Yeah, but that's what it says there.
Dedol.
In your handwriting, it says Ralph Dedol. So.
And Hereward's run out of weapons at this point. All he's got is his shield, and he
boom. He frisbees the shield
right in the guy's face.
I don't know why I looked in the line of the frisbee. So vivid the way you mind it.
Yeah, and just as he does that, the other four, because remember there were 20 knights behind him, and they all stab him at once. All four of them with their lances, and he's deaded. Yeah. And that's the end of Hereward the Wake. And they say that if there had been four men such as Hereward, the Normans would have been destroyed. The people, the army. That's the army. It was the army again.
Well, 60 of them.
Yeah. Yes, 60 Normans would have been destroyed.
At a time, though, a go. He could do more than 15. He just did 15 in a go.
Yeah, in units of 15, yeah.
Good so story about a horrible, really, really violent man, James.
Hey, he's one of England's heroes.
Is he?
It turns out, yeah.
Good thing all of our other heroes are great. No downsides.
Yeah.
So good, you don't even need to look that up at all.
Yeah, so that's them. That's the story of Hereward the Wake. So thanks very much.
Great story, James.
Thanks very much. You ready to score me?
Yes, I am.
Nice.
First category.
First category, supernatural, all right.
Well, mine had a ghost of a man who wasn't dead and asked to see his own name. He said, "Do you know John?" And it's like, "You are John and a ghost." So that's quite rubbish, frankly.
Yeah.
Normally, I don't judge my own stories, but that's poor.
Mm.
And running around a house with a mouthful of egg water is hardly better.
It's not natural, but it is.
Taint natural, it's not but super. Taint supernatural.
No.
In your story, you've got a witch
mm.
who's just about to bust
do
out an incredible incantation when the natural forces of fire,
yes.
gravity,
yes.
and wet,
yeah.
the yes. three elements,
yes.
conspire to kill her.
Yes.
So it's low, isn't it?
It is low.
It's as low
yes.
as a witch in a bog.
It's as low as a witch that's just fallen from a big wooden
yeah,
tower into
right
a bog.
In.
Yeah,
yeah. And the pointy hat is going to make her penetrate the surface of the bog oh, all the quicker.
Yes.
So she's going to go straight down.
Yeah, like the bottom of a swing ball.
I'm with the audience member who said, what?
That's Cornish for yes, good reference.
Is the swing ball not... So, oh, you mean the stick that a swing ball
you know,
is attached
sting,
to?
Yeah, the sting ball.
This
set.
Is classic dad business. We, the cool teens, when we think of swing balls, we think of fun in the garden, playing with a swing ball. Whereas you, it's like, I suppose I'll get the swing ball out.
I'm going to have to drive this
drive into,
it into
the ground. And then just try and sit having a minute's peace and quiet.
Yeah, I wish I hadn't sat so near the swing ball. Shouldn't have sat within its radius.
It's a 1 out of 5.
Fine.
For a supernatural. Sorry, James. On this Hallow of Eves, shame on you.
But my second category is naming.
Names.
Yes.
They were great.
Dodol.
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 Gisbert. Gisbert.
Gisbert yeah. from Ghent.
Gisbert from Ghent. Yeah. Even Hereward the Wake is pretty good.
Knut.
Yes, Knut.
Half a Knut. His son. Lady
which
Torfrida.
Which is if you're not that hungry. Pop Torfrida. The rest in the fridge. What was that?
Torfrida was his wife.
Yes.
The French for toad is Crapo. I look that up.
Bonjour, Monsieur Crapo.
So I think it's pretty good.
I think it's, yeah, I think it's a 4 out of 5.
Okay, solid. Okay.
Do we agree?
Yeah,
great.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because there's no time for democracy. Mm. We used to do loads of voting when we started, but just the general zeitgeist has moved on. Mm. It's like vote, democracy is passé. I'll just decide.
I just need a Cornish noise. With them. Then next category is it's not worth dying for.
Great category, James.
What does it mean?
Can I just say objectively a great category?
Though?
Well, you know, it puts me in mind of Bryan Adams' hit song.
Oh, the summer of Bryan Adams.
I believe was called Don't Tell Me It's Not Worth Dying For. Does anyone want to correct me on what it was called?
I think there were some brackets in there, but yeah. That's
I think it's called Don't Tell Me Brackets It's Not Worth Dying For.
Sure.
Brackets Bryan Adams.
Asterix from Robin Hood. Tink up.
From Robin Hood, bracket Prince of Thieves.
bracket Prince, bracket.
It was one of the most bracketed number ones of all time. Mm.
And that's why it was in there for so long. Because they bought the brackets and they were like, we're just going to have to keep these. Cut that. Cut that. Cut it. Cut it. Just a reminder.
I think that's a great category.
Thanks. No time to go into what it
there
means.
There is no reason to no to think about it. Well, no, they take a lot of... I came up with it, just to be clear, in case we edit that bit out.
Mm.
It was my idea. I think it's a really good category, better than the category suggested by the law folk. Yep.
Right.
And it's 5 out of 5.
Yes.
Which is a judgment both on the story and on what a good category it was.
Yeah, a great category.
Great
okay,
category.
Final category.
Normally we keep the best category for last, so it's weird that you have done it in this order.
It is a mask of Tom Cruise on a spike. Which sounds more threatening than it was meant to be, if I'm honest.
I mean, it's a hate crime, really, what you described.
No.
It's very threatening.
It's some historical figures and they're on a spike and they're wearing one of their Mission Impossible masks.
What's happened here is you've tried to please everybody.
And I've really not pleased
you've
one person
everyone.
In particular.
The suggestions were, I think, numbers of heads on spikes.
Yes.
A very good strategic choice because there's loads.
Yes.
And Tom Cruise masks, an extremely weird suggestion.
But it encapsulates the...
Oh, it captured the spirit of the story, absolutely.
Tom Cruise,
There was a strong element of disguise in the story, a recurring element of disguise.
Okay, all right. There's a head on a spike, and you think it's Hereward's head, and then you go up and you pull it off, and it's not. It's a blooming Norman in the army, man.
Well, I mean, part of me really wants to give it a low score to sort of stick it to the audience.
What?
I've been yelling a little bit. I should be a little bit more grateful. Thank you for coming out on Halloween. I mean, none of you look like you were invited to parties, but still, you might have decided.
This is...
Sorry, I made myself laugh at my own
cruelty. Again, Cornish. Cornish for charm.
It's 5 out of 5.
Yes.
It's 5 out of 5 to try and win back a little bit of the audience's approval, which was...
Thanks, folks.
Not an enthusiastic round of applause there. I'm so sorry. Please keep listening to the podcast. Bye.
Done.
James, I was being quite unruly towards the end there,
and
can I say you handled it very mature.
Thanks, actually.
Yeah, you were very mature. You're a credit to the school, James.
I've been
very impressed with you all term, I have to say.
Thanks.
Do you want to plug the Patreon?
Yes. Get extras at patreon.com/lawmenpod.
Do you want to tell the listener about your extracurricular activities? I mean the Patreon. I was trying to do the best way. Yeah.
Yes, if you join the Patreon, you'll get access to the Law Folk Discord, and you just get to chat to other law folks. They're blooming lovely. It's a Cornish noise that means rude king.